This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. West Virginia is expected to be in the national spotlight later this month in an episode of the PBS documentary series American Experience. The Mine Wars is a two-hour feature that sheds light on a bloody yet pivotal time in West Virginia's history that has often been mostly overlooked. But as Liz McCormick reports, a class at Shepherd University aimed at West Virginia history teachers provides a personal experience with Southern West Virginia, and knowledge for those educators to take back to their classrooms.
This is part of who we are, and it's a history that's kind of been suppressed. It's been lost for a long time.
That's Doug Estep. He's an adjunct professor in Shepherd University's Lifelong Learning Program, which provides continuous education to teachers and community members. Estep is teaching a class on the West Virginia Mine Wars for the second time during the spring 2016 semester.
I grew up in Mingo County in a family of coal miners. My family didn't talk about it. My grandfather didn't talk about it. They would just kind of brush it off. When I would see little hints, I would see stories about tent colonies and strikes, and they just didn't want to talk about it. And, well, that was kind of the way people reacted all around the state.
The Mine Wars were a period of two decades at the beginning of the 20th century when coal miners and coal companies clashed in a series of brutal conflicts over labor conditions and unionization. And until the 1980s, major pieces of these historic clashes were left out of many West Virginia classrooms and textbooks. These are eighth graders at Wildwood Middle School in Jefferson County. Claire Webb, a history teacher, stands in front of her students pointing to a smart board that displays a map of the United States. Today, she's quizzing them on the names of each state capital.
Tallahassee. Audrey, come on up.
Webb has been teaching history for 6 years, but this will only be the second time she includes the Mine Wars into her lesson plans. Webb took Estep's class in the spring of 2015 when it was first offered. As a lifelong Eastern Panhandle resident, Webb wasn't familiar with the stories of the Southern West Virginia conflict, but when she found out, she insisted on sharing them with her students.
I did not realize how pivotal a role West Virginia played in the labor movement. And, you know, some of today's fair labor practices were implemented upon the literal backs of West Virginia miners. And so I did not understand how crucial some of these boycotts, the strikes, the uprisings, the Battle of Bear Mountain, I did not realize how formational they were to today's labor practices.
Estep, the Shepherd professor, takes his classes of educators on a three-day tour of Southern West Virginia, provided through Coal Country Tours. Estep is also the owner of the touring company. Eighth grade teacher Webb says actually visiting the region was the most beneficial part of the class and is even considering going back on the tour again.
My first experience was taking the tour with Coal Country Tours. We took the Mine Wars, the coal heritage tour, and we visited about half a dozen spots around the southern part of the state that were relevant to our mining history. And prior to taking the tour, I hate to say it, but I honestly knew so little about this part of West Virginia history. And so taking the tour was eye-opening.
Coal Country Tours formed in 2010 when Estep took the first group through the coal fields. It's something he's passionate about, and Webb says it showed in the classroom.
It was so packed full of solid information. Doug is so knowledgeable about this subject and passionate. And so it was just an easy listening for 2 hours each week to all of his knowledge from, you know, the kinds of weapons that the Baldwin felt detectives would bring, to the relationships between some of the townspeople, to, you know, the dates of the struggles and the uprisings and exactly, you know, how things transpired in this part of the state.
Now, Estep is hoping to reach an even wider audience with his class. Students can meet physically on Shepherd's campus in Shepherdstown or in Martinsburg. But Estep has also created an online element so that folks can participate virtually via webcam in real time.
I've been trying to get the story out there for quite a while. When I got the chance to kind of roll it over into the Lifelong Learning Program, that was even better, because now instead of 3 days with a few hours on the bus, I've got, 8 weeks, 2 hours every week to talk about this.
Estep will also be featured in the upcoming episode of the PBS documentary series American Experience, called The Mine Wars. The premiere will no doubt bring more attention to West Virginia's critical role in the labor movement. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Liz McCormick in Shepherdstown.
And for more information about the West Virginia Mine Wars class or the American Experience documentary, visit our website, wvpublic.org. Our newsroom recently teamed up with the producers of Inspiring West Virginians for a special episode of Inside Appalachia. The show features Mountain State natives who are leaders in business or in a STEM field, STEM standing for science, technology, engineering, and math. But for generations, men have dominated the math and science fields. Now, more and more women are starting to enter these professions. Inside Appalachia's Jessica Lilly wanted to bring you this story about one young woman whose journey in a STEM field is just beginning.
My name is Senya Smoot Reinert, and I was born and raised in Charleston, West Virginia. I think that there is a big deficit of female teachers in the STEM fields, and I know that they're really trying to change that, and a lot of schools are really trying to bring more women into engineering, but it still is mostly male-dominated. I think my graduating class was at about 80 students, 10 were women, but that number is changing, and I do know in chemical engineering it was almost 50-50, and in my actual research focus, which is biomechanics, for whatever reason, it's extremely female-heavy. I think a lot of women who are in engineering are very interested in sort of the medical aspects and helping people and working with people in labs and in clinics. I don't know, one tip is I think that when you get a lot of really, really smart kids together, especially some who have that stereotypical engineering slight awkwardness, it's very easy to think that everyone else is a genius and you're not. And then you get in group work and you realize everyone's struggling. And every now and then one person's a genius at something and they can pull the group through. But that's only one part of the puzzle. And as intimidating as it can be, I think everyone's intimidated by that. I think girls just think that it's just them, though, sometimes.
But there was one particular teacher who inspired Senya to recognize that women can be talented at math and science.
I will say, shout out to Monica Hatfield. She was my math teacher in middle school who pulled me aside one day and told me I was very good at math and I should keep pursuing it.
And so Senya did end up going into a field where she uses a lot of math. She's a PhD engineering student at Dayton University in Ohio. And in 2011, she was even awarded a fellowship from the National Science Foundation to pursue her graduate research in biomechanics. Her research is intended to help occupational therapists who are developing therapies for people with autism.
And actually, it ties back to Charleston. When I was in high school, I started working with a local family whose son had been diagnosed with autism. And I was part of just sort of this team of people who helped conduct at-home therapy with him, who would take him to different therapy, speech therapy, occupational therapy, group play. And I just really loved the family. I really loved him. And it made me really passionate about helping kids who had developmental disorders. And then my undergrad degree is in mechanical engineering, but something I got very interested in is a field of mechanical engineering called biomechanics, where you use engineering principles and tools to study human performance. People do it to improve sports equipment or athletes' performance, but they also do it a lot clinically to better understand a certain pathology or disorder or disease. And so my master's work, and actually that's what I got the NSF grant for, was I was evaluating physiological changes that were occurring as a result of a pretty popular therapy called sensory integration therapy. So I was working with little kids who were on the autism spectrum, and we were doing things like measuring their postural stability and how well they could control their upright posture. We did something called gaze tracking, where the kids loved it. They got to wear these like super cool spy glasses, but they actually tracked the children's visual fixations. And I also did something called gait analysis, where you study how people walk and how fast they walk and the different cadence they use and how even their steps are to each other. And we just evaluated how those changed as a result of this therapy. But this therapy was supposed to help these children process sensory input better, and so there was a lot of reason to believe that that would affect things physically.
Senya's research found that the therapy likely does help autistic children improve their sensory and physical abilities. Her research is still ongoing, and it's developed into her doctoral dissertation topic. Senya says once her dissertation is complete, she's not sure where her career will take her, but West Virginia will always be home.
I always had a very strong sense of place. My husband, Jimmy, always teases me because I talk whenever I'm in Ohio about how much I miss West Virginia and how pretty it is, and I miss the people there and just the slight warmth to the culture. And I will always be home in a way that I don't think any place I'll ever live will be. And so that's something I've noticed, that some students, they're a lot more open about moving around a lot and aren't as fixated, I think, on that idea of home that myself and a lot of my friends who have left West Virginia have. Even though Dayton is only 3 hours from Charleston, it was actually scarier than I thought it would be to leave the state, especially because I didn't have a car for many years as an undergraduate student. I felt like I was very far away, but you know, Dayton's a great town, and something that a lot of Dayton people think Dayton's really small and there's nothing to do, but it's a lot bigger than Charleston, so I thought that it was pretty fun to explore.
And to any young people out there who are good at math and thinking about studying engineering, Cindy says don't be put off thinking all engineers do is sit behind a desk all day. Biomechanical engineers help design running shoes for athletes. They help make comfy chairs for us to sit in, and they can even help people recovering from a stroke. Cindy's advice? Get together with your classmates outside of class and remember that engineering is interactive.
Another tip for high schoolers I would suggest is a lot of colleges have an engineering summer camp. Often, I went to a women in engineering summer camp as a junior at GW. The camp was at the University of Dayton, but UD also offers a general engineering camp. They also offered minorities in engineering summer camp, and I loved it. I spent a day shadowing a construction engineer. I got to do small experiments in all the major labs on campus. You sort of get an early reassurance that engineering, even though it's a lot about knowing how to solve your own problems, it is very group work oriented. We had a couple different challenges given to small groups, about four people, and we get to design things to try to overcome them. And it was a lot of fun. We were high schoolers running around a college campus. We thought it was a blast.
That was 28-year-old Sonia Smoot Reinhardt talking with Inside Appalachia host Jessica Lilly. You can hear the rest of this week's program Sunday morning at 7 and again Sunday evening at 6 here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. The Inside Appalachia podcast is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, and on our website, wvpublic.org. Like many of the most beloved artists who perform on mountain stage, singer, songwriter, and guitarist Mac McAnally may not be a household name, but his music might as well be. Here he is with Back Where I Came From on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Oh, in the town where I was raised, the clock ticks and the cattle graze. A time passed with amazing grace, back where I come from. You can lie on the riverbank, paint your name on the water tank, a miscount on the beers you drank, back where I come from. Get back where I come from, where I'll be when it's said and done. I'm proud as anyone, and that's where I come from. Sunday school, who made the sunshine through? I know who made the moonshine too, back where I come from. Blue eyes on a Saturday night, tan legs in the broad daylight, TVs they were black and white, back where I come from. Yeah, back where I come from, where I'll be when it's said and done. As anyone, that's where I come from. Some say it's a backward place, narrow minds on the narrow way, but I make it a point to say that's where I come from. That's where I come from.
Mac McAnally with Back Where I Come From. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Bohr, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, and Liz McCormick. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our theme music is by Matt Jackford. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.